Lots of channels, nothing to watch, especially if you're searching for the truth. It's time to interrupt your regularly scheduled programs with something actually worth watching. Salem News Channel, straightforward, unfiltered, with in-depth insight and analysis from the greatest collection of conservative minds, like Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Sebastian Gorka, and more. Find truth. Watch 24/7 on SNC.TV and on Local Now, Channel 525.
OnePlace.com. OnePlace.com.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 20th day of November 2023. And indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance. And tonight, our producer is none other than Derek. There you go. And way out yonder, the legendary Pastor Joe Larson.
That must be me. I can't think of anybody else that'd work with you. So yeah, I'm here, ready to go to work.
We got a lot to get to, so we better get to it tonight. Let's start over. Do you remember the title of the message?
Give thanks unto God and fear not.
Right. So let's get started in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 7. Well, let's just take some verses one at a time and take a close look at these. Remember them which have the rule over you, who has spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Now, when this was being written, those virtually that had the rule over them, they were the Old Testament prophets, weren't they, and pastors?
Yeah, it would be the prophets.
But now this changes up here as we get to verse 17. What is the significance of the number 7, verse 7 here?
7 is the number of perfection.
Yep, you're right. So now, when he goes on, he actually gives you here in this chapter here of Hebrews 3 admonitions for those that have the rule over you. 1, remember them in gratitude and prayer. 2, obey them because they have been called by God to teach and to lead you. And 3, he tells you to salute them. What do you think that means? You think he's telling them, like we used to do our hand salute?
Kind of a show of respect, yeah.
That's what it is.
In that sense, salute them, salutations, give them greetings.
Yeah.
In respect.
And so now, he goes on to say, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. So, that means he's immutable. It says that he's immutable. What does that mean?
He cannot change. God cannot change. Christ is the, it came from the physical Christ came from the spiritual Father and is God, and he, like the Father, cannot change.
All right, so does he do things the same way over and over? Does he ever change the way he does things?
No.
No. Does he get them right every time?
He gets it right every time.
The first time and every time, right?
Well, whatever God wants, he can create it exactly how, the way he wants it done, and that's perfection.
Be not carried away about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace and not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. So what do you think he means by that?
Well, so many of the things of the world revolve around the physical, your eating, your pleasures, and the strange doctrines of the doctrines and teaching of men. God is more concerned with the state of your heart, your spiritual strength, your spiritual being, and your righteousness than he is with what you have to eat and how much money you make and what your worldview is, unless it's all about him.
So Jesus said, place up your treasures where?
In heaven, where you know, they cannot rust or be stolen.
So Joel Osteen says you should live the good life now, here and now. T.D. Jakes says you need to get your goods, get your stuff now, right here and now. And
oh, that's Antichrist, isn't it? It's diametrically opposed to what Christ teaches.
So that would, you would consider be a strange and diverse doctrine, huh?
That would be more than that. It would be, I think it's even worse. There are strange doctrines out there. There are all these different isms and things in the world, but what those prosperity preachers do is even worse than just having a strange doctrine, because it is directly opposite of Christ, and they should know it.
All right. We have an altar wherewith they have no right to eat, would serve the tabernacle. He's speaking of something very specific.
Yes, and way back in the days of atonement in the Old Testament, even the priest couldn't eat of the sacrifice on that day of atonement. The flesh was taken outside of the camp and burned. It was taken outside and away.
All right, now wait a minute. He says, we have an altar. He's speaking about the church today.
So there's exactly
our altar today, where they have no right to eat, we call the Lord's table.
Right, they the Lord's Supper.
So what happens to the unsaved and the those that come in with unconfessed sins and take the Lord's table? What happens?
It's very bad. It's that it can actually lose. Not lose your salvation, but what's the word? You can actually die.
Well, what about those that aren't saved? They have,
they have no right to be at the table whatsoever.
So Bill Gates with all of his money, George Soros with all of his money, they have no right to be to take
just
the
at that table? No, all the money in the world can't buy a seat. It has to be, you have to be born again, and you have to be a saved person to take the Lord's table, Lord's Supper.
Okay. Do these people mostly know that, and do they fear to do that?
I sometimes I get confused. Sometimes I really don't think they believe it, and I don't think they pay enough attention to the Word of God. They don't really care. They're going to make God look at things their way, and their little minds are going to just take and piece together. They piece together what they want and create their own worldview, which is really an antichrist. It's Satan leading them astray. And some have to know, but I think a great many are useful idiots that don't know what they're doing.
Joseph Stalin, what kind of man was he?
Pretty wicked and evil and powerful.
There was something he feared, though. He feared to curse God.
Right. He did not want to do that.
He would not do that. Also, here, so now He goes on to say, for the bodies of the beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Now,
right, he was crucified up on up on the mount. He was not crucified in the city or at the temple, but away out of the city, right?
All right. In other words, if lepers came to the temple, the disease was regarded as a symbol of sin. So where did they have to remain when they came?
They had to remain outside the city, away from the temple.
Yeah. What about those that were convicted of blasphemy against God? They were stoned. Where were they stoned at?
Outside the city in the dump.
Okay, what about those that ignored God's Sabbath and got caught? They were stoned also. Where were they stoned?
In the same place.
Okay. So the bodies of animals slain and sacrificed for sins of the people, likewise they had to be burned in the same place, right?
Right, outside in that what we'd call the dump, where the carcasses were thrown.
So now it all had to do with sin. And so why was it Jesus was crucified outside of the gate?
Because he was the, like with the Day of Atonement, he is the one who died and made atonement for our sins.
So
God
he took
everything the same way.
He took the sins of the world.
He gives us all these examples to help us understand. So the Day of Atonement helps lead up to Christ's atoning death for the self-sacrifice taking our place.
So he took the
atonement
sins
for our sin.
He took the sins of the world upon himself then, didn't he, out there?
He did.
Okay.
But primarily for those that he knew that would accept his grace and his sacrifice.
For we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. What city is that we seek?
The New Jerusalem that will come down from heaven.
All righty. He goes on to say, for by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise of God continually, that the fruit of our lips gives thanks to his name. So we today, we don't offer up sacrifice of animals. We offer up four things for our sacrifice. What do you think those four things are?
Well, the first was our body is a living sacrifice. It's our service, our worship, and our praise.
You missed one.
Oops.
Tithes. Our tithes.
Our tithes, yes.
Okay. Then he goes on to say, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So now, what do you think is the definition of good? The Bible gives you a definition of what is good.
It's your obedience. It's your obedience to God, and you're doing what he has called upon you to do.
Here's what he says, 119 Psalms. His good is his laws, his statutes, his ordinance, his covenants, his precepts, his promises, his commands, and his proclamations. These are all good.
Good.
Now, here...
Well, that's in a way abbreviated, doing what he tells you to do, which would be all those things, right?
Right. Well, in those things is feeding the hungry, housing the homeless, clothing the naked, visiting those in prison and jail. Now here, he goes on to say,
supporting ministries.
Yeah. Obey them. Now we're here. We're on number 17. So if you take the number 7 is for perfection, what is the number 10 for?
Completion.
So you complete perfection. Now he says again, now he's referring to the New Testament prophets today. Now, to the New Testament prophets in those days, they had foretellers today, or they had foretellers.
Foretellers today were
foretellers. Right.
We tell what was already told.
Well, it's explained in the very first chapter of Hebrews here. But here he says, obey them that have the rule over you. Now, does that include Christians if they're senators or congressmen or presidents?
That are Christian?
Yeah.
That would be a yes if they're a true Christian, yes.
So if he's a true Christian...
They're going to be concerned with our souls and our spiritual well-being. Will be very important.
Should Donald Trump go to a pastor, a man of God, and say, "What saith the Lord God? What saith the Lord God?" Should he do that when he's making decisions in office?
I would be so blessed if, you know, God would be blessed if we had a leader that would.
Well, it's telling you something right here now.
It should,
so,
yes.
No.
One thing in the cabinet, we've talked about this in the past. The two things are absent from the president's cabinet. One would be a pastor, and the other would be a historian to help the presidents realize, you know, this has been tried before. This was, you know, happened in the world before. And the other would be somebody they could go to and ask what God has to say about this issue.
Okay, so did God send prophets to the kings of the Old Testament?
They sure did, and the prophets would go in and tell kings especially things they didn't want to hear, and many of the prophets were killed because they delivered God's message to someone who didn't want to hear it.
All right, so now today, if you're going to know if the man is raised up and set up by God, if he's a shepherd and not a hireling, how would you know if that man, what would tell you that that man, that God has raised that man up? There's several signs in the Bible that God has raised that man up. What do you think they would be? What would be the first one?
Well, the first one to me would be they would be pro-life. They would understand that the man is made in the image of God and all life is precious to God.
All right, so the righteous are as... lions.
Bold as lions.
Right.
So he would be a bold person.
So if God raised him up, if his faith is strong, he will be very, very bold. But what about the fearful? The fearful, okay, and unbelieving. The bold and believing. Okay, so now, if he was bold, that's the very first thing. So, but then, how do you vet them? You got to vet. You got to make sure. So when he's preaching, how do you test him?
By his fruit, by what he does, not just by what he says. Too often Republicans say they're going to do things and never do. The one thing we liked about Donald Trump, he did what he said he was going to do.
All right. So... He said,
unusual, which is why everybody was on the left is so mad at him, because he actually did things. He fulfilled campaign promises, and that's why people on both sides of the aisle were upset. That's just not heard of. You make promises, and then you don't keep them. That's the way things are done in Washington.
Right. Obey them that have the rule over you. Submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for it is unprofitable for you. So now, if God has raised up his shepherds, are they held to a higher standard?
Yes, they are. We are. When God called us to be watchmen, he said, "What if you don't do what I've called you to do and warn the people, the blood will be upon you."
Okay.
And he makes people that he puts in certain positions far more responsible than the average Christian, the average believer.
Pray for us, for we trust that we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. But I beseech you rather to do this, that I may be restored to you sooner. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Here, he goes on to say, make you perfect in every good work, to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing.
Well-pleasing.
In the sight, in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. Know you that our brother Timothy is set at liberty. What do you think that means? Timothy was set at liberty.
He set out to be on his own. He set to be free to be a pastor.
He was set. He was set out of prison.
That's right.
He was with Paul.
Yeah.
Okay. In whom, if you come shortly, I will see you. Salute them, again, that have the rule over you, and all the saints, they of Italy, salute you. Okay? So, again, that goes back to what? Greeting them, greeting the pastors.
Right. With and, respect.
Yeah, with respect, showing that. Here, when you go over there and he says, I want to go back here, verse 16, but to do good, to communicate, are you one of those do-gooders? I mean, we don't want to be a do-gooder, do we? Because if we're a do-gooder, won't people speak with disdain to you? What are you, a do-gooder? Have you ever heard that?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure, yep. Pastor walks in the room and all of a sudden everybody shuts up because they were telling a dirty story or something or cussing or swearing. And you walk into the room, oh, here's that guy that doesn't cuss, doesn't swear, doesn't tell dirty jokes, yeah.
What about if you're a whistleblower?
That would be a do-gooder, yep.
And so,
and the world calls people that do things like that a think or a snitch. They have their own code. And the idea is the world wants to cover up sin, hide it. So they tell people don't snitch, don't tell the truth, don't point out people that are committing grievous things because, well, it's real easy. I don't want to get caught. So if snitches are bad, you make it where it's not a good thing. And yet God says what? We are to reprove and rebuke and bring to light things that are wrong.
What if you?
And that's not going to make us popular.
What if you come along and you see some bullies, some of these street thugs, bullying people, and you intervene, you get in and say, "No, we're not going. You're not going to get away with this." Is that a do-gooder?
Yep, it sure is. Like the Good Samaritan, only that takes a little more courage when they're. Actually there, you just didn't come by and help the person that's already been injured. But do-gooders are the ones that, you know, this person's always running around taking, visiting the sick and doing all these things. And especially at Christmas time, people that go around and, oh, that's just another do-gooder. It's a put-down because they have no love for their fellow man. They're more obsessed with their own selves, their own life, their own... needs and wants.
One time, some years ago, I was out at a place, swimming, one of those swimming holes where they had all the pools and that, and I was sitting there on a blanket, and there was another blanket. There was a guy that had a kid about 4 or 5 years old, and the kid had done something wrong, and the father was spanking him. He was hitting the kid hard, and the kid was crying, and he kept saying, "Quit crying." He kept hitting the kid, and the kid kept crying,
yeah.
And he kept yelling, "Quit crying." I mean, he's hitting this kid hard. So I went over there and I said, "Listen," I said, "he can't quit crying if you're hitting him." And he said, "Well, listen, you're a do-gooder.
Yeah,
better
mind your own business." Yeah.
I said, "Pal," I says, "I just made this my business." I said, "So do you want to give me some of that?" Okay. And in the process, he decided it'd be a good idea not to hit the kid anymore because I was going to give him some of what he was giving the kid. And because that's what he had coming, huh? So I was a do-gooder?
Yep. Sure.
All righty. I know another do-gooder named Jan Porter. And here she comes. Go ahead and bring her on.
Remember learning how a bill became a law?
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill.
Well, Issue 1 is trying to make our laws using a different kind of bill. 58 million of them. From George Soros, New York millionaires, foreign billionaires, even blood money from partial birth abortionists. And all that money bought a lot of ads to deceive Ohio voters.
It also protects the essential reproductive medical care, like the miscarriage care that saved my own life, and access to birth control.
No, Issue 1 was not about miscarriage care or birth control. It was about abortion until birth and bringing back partial birth abortion into our state. But Issue 1 violates our state and federal constitutional right to life, which, according to Article 1, Section 1 of our Ohio Constitution, is inalienable. That's what our legislators swore to uphold. As the Supreme Court stated in the Dobbs decision, it's time to heed the Constitution and return the issue of abortion to the people's elected representatives, not to the mob with the most money. Just as we wouldn't put slavery to a popular vote, no matter the mob and no matter the money, inalienable rights and our children are not for sale to the highest bidder. While the courts are able to issue rulings, our state constitution grants the authority of the court's jurisdiction, that is, what they're allowed to rule on, to the state legislature. So while the pro-aborts are right now picking their favorite judge to strike down our protective laws, Article 4, Section 18 makes it clear. The jurisdiction of the courts is directed by law. The Constitution specifically says reining in out-of-control courts is the legislator's job. So let's call on the legislators to do their job, to use their constitutionally granted right to represent us and to keep pro-abortion judges from repealing Ohio laws based on an amendment that doesn't even mention a single Ohio law. You see, the national strategy of the abortionists is to roll over the will of the people and our inalienable rights, just like they did in Michigan, Vermont, California, and they're planning to do all across the nation. But there is one state that is saying no. Foreign billionaires don't get to crush the will of the people and our inalienable rights. Representative Jen Gross and Bill Dean are standing against the abortion machine. Are you willing to stand with them? Ask your representative and senator, are you willing to use your constitutionally granted tools to stop the abortion machine? Or are you just going to talk about it? Make your first call to Senate President Matt Huffman. Then call on those in the State House to stand for the Constitution and prevent the courts from stripping us of all our laws and our inalienable rights.
We're back, and we are gearing up for a real battle here in Ohio, Joe, because if I was to ask you what is the most wicked, evil, unclean, ungodly, creeping, crawling cancer in the world, what creeping, crawling, ungodly, unclean cancer has killed more human beings than any army or any war? There's one whose name...
Well, abortion, of course.
Well, there's one whose very name is a lie.
Land predators would be high on the list, right?
They would be the number one. Now,
one, yep.
So if you were to go looking for, and is run by the most wicked, and the Bible refers to them as unclean, the most wicked, unclean women in the world, you would go to planned predators. Here's let me tell you what Jeremiah says about it. Jeremiah refers to him as this. Why trimmest thou the way to seek love? Therefore thou hast also taught the wicked ones the ways. Also in thy skirts is found the blood of innocent, of the souls of the poor innocent. And I have not found it by secret search, but upon all of these. In other words, he's making a point that he didn't have to look upon their hearts. Their very mouths said, showed them that they were wicked and that they were blood guilty of the innocent. Yet thou sayest, because I am innocent, surely his anger should be turned from me. Behold, I will plead with thee because thou sayest, I have not sinned. In other words, they're saying, hey, look, wait a minute. What we did is legal. It was legal. Killing them babies is legal.
Abortion's legal, at least for the law of man, but not the law of God.
So what was is legal, often not lawful?
Exactly. Because God's law preempts all other laws. It's eternal, everlasting, and it is what we, in the end, will be judged on. Not man's law, but it'll be God's law that we're judged by.
So, according to God's law, what they have done is they have transgressed upon his dominion, huh?
Exactly. Where they transgressed, they just kind of walked all over it.
And so, God is long-suffering, but he's not slack concerning these things, is he?
No, he isn't. And he said that, you know, thou shalt not, must not, cannot, will not shed innocent blood. He made it pretty clear in many different verses.
Well, he compares Israel to these wicked women to dromedaries. He says here, he says, how can thou say I am not polluted? He's referring to them, and I have not gone after Balaam. See the way in the valley. Know that thou hast done. Thou art a swift dromedary traversing her ways. In other words, defiling. She's like a camel in heat.
Yeah.
And then he goes on.
And walking around and just looking for anyone to breed with.
Now, these are the women that I see. These are unclean women on the pro-death side. Now he compares them to a wild ass. He said, you're a wild ass to the wilderness that snuffeth up the wind at her pleasure. In her occasion, who can turn her away? All they that seek her will not weary themselves. In her month, they shall find her. So a lot of these women that are coming in, I ran into one time when I was preaching outside. She was bragging that she'd already had 6 abortions and this was going to be the 7th. And I said, if you're killing your child, your baby, why are you doing that? Because I've got the right, she said. That was her. So these are some.
I have the right. God said you don't have the right, and you will have to be judged by him. He won't ask you for an explanation. He will just judge you.
So these are extremely wicked women, aren't they?
Well, God said what? Murderers will not enter the kingdom of heaven, and killing an unborn innocent child would have to be murder. There's no other way to look at it.
What about now? I've been there where they literally drug some of these young girls and kicking and screaming. We went to their aid. I've been there where they've tried to force. I remember one time pickup truck came in and this pretty blonde-headed lady, she was looking at me and she was crying and you could see her, what is that stuff they put around their eyes that was running the mascara. And she looked at me and you could see the hurt in her eyes. And this guy was forcing her to go into the killing center. So I walked over there and I told her, I says, look, you don't have to go in there. I said, there's help available. Then he come around the truck telling me to mind my own business. Like I told him, I just made this my business here.
Yeah.
And so he threatened me. You know, see, these guys always have a big mouth, these bullies. And he threatened he was going to do some very bad things to me. And I told him, I said, there's nothing between us but air in your mouth, and we can overcome both. And so with that, he jumped back in his truck, and they took off. And one year later, her sister came to find me with the pictures of the baby. She dumped him. She kept her baby and got rid of the punk.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
That is one of those stories you just love to hear, right?
Absolutely. Here, I've
somebody
got this
cared enough to stand up and say something. What is it? Evil triumphs when good men do nothing?
Absolutely. And planned so predators gearing up to make Ohio a haven for out-of-state baby kills. Planned predators announced it will make significant investments in Ohio following results of ballot referendum enshrining their right to the procedure of the state constitution. That's a lie told by liars. That is a lie, and of course, Planned Predators, their name, their very name is a lie. Their very name, they've got nothing to do with parenthood. It's Planned Barrenhood. They should change their name to Unclean Women, which would accommodate women seeking to kill their babies from other states. Ohio voters approved a referendum with 56% of the vote, and that vote, with 69% of it was mail-in. And about out of that 69% of the mail-in, Joe, I'll bet you 30% of them were for false ballots. I know there's a huge number of, and that's why we have to stop. We've got to, again, clean up the voter rolls in this country before the next election.
Yeah, but we need to get rid of that mail-in ballot because that's the easiest way to cheat.
Absolutely. All righty.
That's why the Dems wanted it so badly. Oh, you know, people can't get to the voting, you know, polling places and the voting booth, and they can't get the IDs necessary to present to vote. I mean, you know, what an insult. If people think about it, everybody in this world has to have some kind of identification. You can't go to a Democrat rally or anything without showing an ID, presenting who you are. You can't go to the bank. You can't do anything in this world without some form of ID. And like around here, somebody can't drive. They're crippled or in a wheelchair. People just take them to the, you know, polls with them. And they don't have to go vote.
So we really have a battle ahead of us. I mean, a major battle coming up. And so our state legislators have told us. Now we have a problem, though. And the opposition knows it. We got what in Ohio here what they call the 22 Rhino Blue, the 22 Rhino Blue. Those are 22 Rhino Republicans, who vote with the Democrats. And so they have got to hear the people, because if they do, they've got to be voted out of office.
Well, you have the same trouble in Texas. They were voting for the school choice. And there were a large, I think, what was it, 17 Republicans voted with the Democrats and stopped school choice in Texas. And no, I think it was more than 17. It was 17 or 18 of the Republicans were received money from the teachers union and endorsed. They were endorsed by the teachers union. National Education Association endorsed them to run. So here we have, they're not rhinos, they're Democrats in Republican clothing. And the same thing going on states. You've mentioned this over and over, how they're in Ohio, and it's happened in Texas. These Democrats will run as a Republican, get in, and you can tell by their fruit. They are not Republicans, just like in Texas. These people that voted against the school choice sided with all the Democrats, voted against school choice, and voted for the teachers' unions instead of for the people who want, especially in the failing, horrible big city schools. So this is what's wrong with the country. We have these Democrats that have no honor. They lie, they cheat, they steal, and it's about time people figured out.
Here's how you can, one of the ways you can tell, Joe, is if they've run for office prior to that several times as a Democrat,
yeah,
and then all of a
that
sudden.
That would be one way, and the other is look who's endorsing. If you're endorsed by the National Education Association, one of the big teachers' unions, you're not a Republican. They're not a conservative by any stretch of the imagination. If the big labor's supporting you, endorsing you, you're not. You know, so just look at who's supporting. They say, you know, judge me by my friends, and I say judge me by my enemies, you know.
Yeah, that you can tell a lot more about a person by their enemies than normally you can by their friends.
Exactly.
All righty. Release January 6th tapes, protesters here, and we have, it's unclear whether the total video dump will include body cam footage from D.C. Metropolitan Police officers on Capitol Police, But it is unlikely. When the Gateway pundit went to the House Administration Media Room, we were told that we could only access footage from Capitol security cameras and various police divisions hold the police body cam for footage. And so more and more has come out, and more has come out about Ray Epps. Ray Epps, he was one of them. But also, I noticed they're going to really going after Christopher Ray. Christopher Ray refuses to acknowledge the ghost buses.
Yep.
They were, okay.
And Representative Higgins was pressing him on all kinds of things, and you know, he was claiming these buses were filled with FBI informants dressed as Trump supporters deployed in the Capitol. They were there. Let's see. I've got it. They were showed up early. They were there at 5 a.m. First buses to arrive at Union Station, 5 a.m. Both buses were painted completely white. No other markings, no advertising, no, you know, tour guide, tour bus sign, nothing. So we know they were ghost buses.
They were FBI and, dirty cops.
Of course, Chris Ray would not answer any questions about that.
Well,
in fact, he said, he said, a ghost bus? I'm not sure I've heard that term. Well,
what a liar.
The congressman, yeah, he's a liar. He said it's real common in law enforcement. It's a vehicle that's used for secret purposes. It's painted over. And it's void of any identifying marks.
And they often use them for diesel therapy, which they call diesel therapy, where they have prisoners, political prisoners, where they don't want people to have access to them. So they put them on these unmarked buses, and they just keep traveling from around the country, keeping them, you know, without stopping any place, just keeping them so people don't know where they're at.
Yep. Keeping them hidden. Well, we know there's two places you can go now to get some real truth. The Gateway Pundit, and you can go to WND.com, and they've got up there new videos. Police were giving handshakes to January 6 protesters. They were shaking hands. Mike Johnson, the new House Speaker, released a portion of the thousands of January 6 footage. And these, in the ones that I started looking at, the cops are seen standing idly by as the demonstrators walk peacefully through the building. Other ones are sitting there shaking hands with people. So they put up the first batch, and there's 90 videos, about 15 hours, and there's a whole list at World News Daily, WND.com, and the Gateway Pundit. And the just look for the title, Police Were Giving Handshakes to Jan 6 Protesters. Police were giving handshakes to Jan 6 protesters. And there's a list, and you can start looking and see the truth for yourself. And the good thing is this is just the beginning. Johnson is going to upload more in a few days. He's going to release a little bit at a time. You've got to remember there's 41,000 hours of this, and they're trying to release the good stuff. He's releasing 15 hours of it right now.
All right, very good. I have, you know, here, right here, I have two more episodes of Jake Lang, who has been in that dirty jail for 1,200 days now, and I'm going to see
without,
if I can...
Yeah, that's unconstitutional, un-American, and I can't believe that people aren't just screaming at their congressmen and senators, do something. This is not right. This is not a constitutional republic. This is not the American way, and people need to be standing up and screaming about this, and I don't understand the Republican Party has been so quiet about it. I just, where are any of these people with some moxie, with some courage?
Well, there's few. Now that we got the new Speaker of the House is one that's much better than the one that we had in
he
there.
He may have enough to start pushing on this. Releasing the videos is a start, but We need to demand of our elected officials a lot more than this, folks.
Right.
In fact, the good news, did you hear about the election in Argentina? They've got a brand new president down there.
A conservative.
Xavier Milei. I'm not sure how you pronounce it, but he is a capitalist. He's promised to change. They've got rampant inflation that topped 140%. He's going to replace all of their money with the American dollar. He's going to eliminate half of the country's government agencies. He's symbolized by having a chainsaw on the campaign trail. He was going to cut government, and he really is going to. He's a conservative. He's denouncing the leftist policies. He's saying this is why we've got this culture of poverty. The model of decadence has come to an end, and there's no going back, he said on his victory speech. We have monumental problems ahead, kind of like we do here in America. Inflation, lack of work, poverty. The situation is critical, and there is no place for tepid half measures. So he's going to immigration restrictions, small government. He's opposing liberal things like abortion, feminist policies, and all this. And he said, leftist SOBs, I can't read it, but I can say that, be afraid. Freedom goes forward. Hail freedom. You know,
well,
sounds like what we need to do here in America. Sounds kind of like Trump on the stump,
yeah, it
right?
Sounds like it'll be Joe Biden will do everything he can to stop him, you know. And this is, remember,
yeah,
Argentina used to be one of the wealthiest per capita countries in the world until...
And now it's one of the poorest because of leftist policy, kind of like what's happening to the good old
because
USA.
Because Barack Hussein Obama sent his agents down there to interfere and to overthrow the government.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, they worked the first time, didn't work this time, though. The people finally voted. They've had enough poverty, suffering, lack of medicine, lack of food, all kinds of horrible problems we've described over the years. I remember some of the stories were pretty pathetic. And the people finally things got bad enough. They finally said, we've got to change. He won 56% of the vote over the leftist candidate. So 56 to 44%, which was a major win for freedom in the world.
Well, we need some major wins. And like I said...
We sure do. We need one here in this country very badly, right?
Well, we're working on a number of things. It's not for there's been a lack of work here. It's not that there's a lack of work. There's a lack of workers. One of the things, we're having hard times, and we're never going to win unless everybody does their part. No more time for the very few to do all of the work with the majority of people, where the many sit back and depend upon the very few.
Yeah. Well, like this guy said, there's no place for tepid half measures. We will lose this country if the people do not stand, right?
Absolutely.
Well, look at this story. Mother of girl stabbed 14 times on her way to gym class. Now, she's suing the Ola Middle School in Henry County, Georgia. She's suing them for $3 million. Why? Well, her daughter required extreme plastic surgery for stab wounds to face, neck, breast, back, after a classroom attack in front of Bain students who were cheering on the attacker. Now, the attacker had been spotted making threats with a knife the previous day, but was still allowed in school the next day. Yeah. So here's this girl armed with a knife. She threatened other students. The school didn't do anything about it. And this lady, Mrs. Wilson, it's her daughter, Ashley Wilson, said her daughter would be dead if it hadn't been for a courageous little 13-year-old girl who stepped in as others watched and filmed this horrible attack. The kids were standing around Bain, cheering, filming it, and only one child had the courage, a 13-year-old girl, to step in and put a stop to it. And the administrators knew that the knife was on campus, and did nothing about it. The family has moved out of Henry County, is now homeschooling. It's a shame they had to go through this to figure out homeschooling is a good thing. And so their daughter is seeing a psychologist to tackle the nightmares, the night terrors, the panic attacks, the anxiety. And
Joe, it's only been 50 years since we started telling people they need to, if you love your kids, get them out of the public school. It's only been 50 years since we started telling
people
that.
And we've done how many stories like this that we've tried to tell people about the school failings, the grades, the kids that can't read, write, do arithmetic.
Here's another story right here. Hospital accused of intentionally killing a teen now faces the music. Okay. A hospital accused of intentionally killing a teenage girl with Down syndrome has lost its last chance to dismiss the case and now move forward in what her family says is a first-of-its-kind jury trial. Earlier this year, the tragic death of Grace Shara came to light. In 2021, Grace died at St. Elizabeth's Hospital in Appleton, Wisconsin. She had been given not resuscitate orders without her family or her family knowledge of consent. Additionally, she was administered a cocktail of drugs, Prisodex, lorazepam, and morphine, which are known to cause hypoxia or low levels of oxygen in body tissues. Grace had been diagnosed with COVID-19, but her family said she had been doing relatively well despite being in the hospital. Yet, they said, hospital staff repeatedly tried to force ventilation on Grace without their consent, even as tests came back normal, indicating she didn't need to be ventilated. Eventually, her parents were banned from being in her room at all, despite the Americans with Disabilities Act requiring the right to an advocate. And through her sister was on site to serve as the advocate, Grace's family said the staff made decisions for her supposed treatment without consulting them. On her last day alive, she was given lorazepam and morphine through those she had already been receiving Prisodex for 4 days. Prisodex is not supposed to be used for more than 1 day. They gave Grace a combination of drugs, and none of us could have survived. Scott Shara, Grace's
father, said. A healthy person couldn't have taken them.
Absolutely. Well, I think you're going to see more of this. You see how in Canada now, they're boasting. They're actually these very sick people, very sick people. I mean, Hitler would have loved them.
They're bringing the killing of people they're making it an art form where, if you have this problem, that problem, you're depressed, they're getting almost rid of reasons. Anything goes to have euthanasia by a doctor.
And so they're actually holding babies up and bragging and smiling and saying, this child, we're going to kill this child for its own good. And they're smiling. You talk about wicked people. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Now, this is all a sign of the times, exactly out of Matthew chapter 24, exactly out of 2 Timothy chapter 3, exactly out of Romans chapter 1. So all of these things, and you say, well, there's always been bad things. No, this country has never been so degenerate right now as it is, and it's not just in this country. This, again, is another sign of the soon imminent return of our Lord Jesus. I don't know how much worse it could get. We're coming up to a break. And we'll be back right after this.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
Long time no see.
No can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.